memang kadang kerja keras. Pencapaian akhir ini kemenangan atas. Fokus akan tugas serta kerja sampai tuntas. Hasil di lapang bisa beda di atas kertas. Bukan jika dikerjakan dengan lugas. Menentang dunia walau kalah tapi puas. Menentang diri sendiri itu jadi yang
back off cause you ain't got no stress. You don't mess with the best. Atur rencana, strategi, lancarkan misi. Semua butuh proses. Yes, bersatu itu awal, bersama itu progres. Kerjasama dan fokus pada target. Let's talk now, get your success.
If you wanna go fast, you go alone. If you wanna go far, go together.
Listener, thank you for still staying tuned in Indonesia today through our audio streaming voinews.id and RRI Digital. I'm Nuka Kusumawati and I will accompany you to complete your weekend with highlight of the week. Here are the headlines. President Prabowo Subianto has inaugurated Ambassadors Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary and Permanent Representatives. Indonesia reaffirms commitment to strengthen Biological Weapons Convention. I'm Nuka Kusumawati now with the news in details. The first info is about President of the Republic of Indonesia Prabowo Subianto has inaugurated Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary and Permanent Representative. Hasna Nur Afifah has the details.
President Prabowo Subianto has installed 8 ambassadors, extraordinary and plenipotentiary, and permanent representatives to international organizations at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday. At the inauguration ceremony, the president also read the oath that was repeated by the newly appointed officials before they signed the official documents.
Demi Allah, saya bersumpah.
Demi Allah, saya bersumpah.
Bahwa saya.
In the name of God, I solemnly swear that in my appointment as Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary, I will remain faithful to the Constitution of the Republic of Indonesia of 1945 and will implement all laws and regulations to the best of my ability in devotion to the nation and the state.
The newly appointed ambassadors include Toferi Primanda Sutikno to Mexico, El Salvador and Guatemala, Indrayana Susilo to the United States, Andika Krishna Yudanto to Brazil, Abdul Kadir Jailani to Germany, Judah Nugraha to the United Arab Emirates, and Imam As'ari to Ecuador. Meanwhile, Umar Hadi has been assigned as Indonesia's permanent representative to the United Nations in New York, and Siddhartha Reza Suryadipuro as the permanent representative to the World Trade Organization and international organizations in Geneva. Hasna Nur Afifah, Voice of Indonesia.
Next, we have information about Indonesia reaffirm its commitment to strengthening the Biological Weapons Convention or BWC during the sixth session of the Working Group on Strengthening the BWC held at the United Nations Office, Geneva, from August 11 to 22, 2025. Ranoff has the details.
The charge the affairs at interim of the Indonesian mission in Geneva, Ambassador Aksanul Habib, emphasized that Indonesia remained committed to strengthening the Biological Weapon Convention. He delivered this statement at the sixth meeting of the Working Group on Strengthening the BWC, held at the United Nations headquarters in Geneva from 12 to 22 August 2025, and a statement from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs received in Jakarta Jakarta on Monday. He stressed that the national implementation of the Biological Weapon Convention is a continuous process and must be adjusted to the context of the each country.
There is no single model that fits all, yet incremental improvement supported by sustained cooperation will strengthen global biosecurity. States cannot implement the BWC in isolation. Effective information sharing, targeted technical assistance, and robust confidence-building measures are essential to achieving full compliance.
In this meeting, Indonesia also shares its views on various agenda items, including international cooperation, development in science and technology, transparency and confidence building measures, compliance and verification, as well as national implementation. Indonesia was also interested as one of the facilitators of the on the issue of the national implementation, playing a role in assisting the chair of the working group in drafting recommendation that includes strengthening national regulation, capacity building, and providing technical support at the international level. Desiana Grano, Voice of Indonesia.
Now we have information about Indonesia-Japan payment connectivity is upgrading through cross-border QR, while rupiah-yen transactions are being expanded to reduce cost and exchange rate risk. Ihsan Saputra has the details.
Indonesia and Japan strengthen cross-border payment connectivity. Both countries also expand the rupiah-yen local currency transaction scene. Indonesia Central Bank Governor Perry Warjio at the Indonesia-Japan LCTN Cross-Border QR Payment Linkage High-Level Campaign in Jakarta explained that the initiative is part of an effort to facilitate trade, tourism, and investment transactions between the two countries.
Today, Bank Indonesia and Japan Minister of Finance agreed to expand further local currency transaction, which is Indonesia Japan local currency transaction already number 2 after China. The size up to July this year, $5.1 billion.
The expansions of LCT, which allows direct rupiah yen transactions without conversion to US dollars, complements cross-border QR payment connectivity, simplifying shopping and paying for services with a QR code scan. This SIM is expected to reduce costs, mitigate exchange rate risk, and expand market access for micro, small, and medium enterprises.
I hope that the newly available financial settlement services will enable more active movement of people and goods between Japan and Indonesia, realizing a future in which both countries grow together. The Japanese government also intends to continue vigorously promoting economic and financial cooperation with Indonesia.
With the combinations of LCT and cross-border QR payments, Indonesia and Japan target for a more inclusive, efficient, and mutually reinforcing transaction ecosystem for both business and tourists. Ihsan Saputra reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Let's move on to our next info, where Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka has responded to a proposal for smoking designated train carriage. In his statement, Gibran stressed that public transportation must remain a smoke-free zone under existing regulation. Ofra has the details.
Sudah ada SE, sudah ada undang-undangnya.
Indonesian Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka addressed a proposal from a member of the Indonesian House of Representatives regarding the provisions of smoking designated train carriages. His response came after traveling on the Adi Sumarmo International Airport train number 573B on the Karuban Adi Sumarmo route from Palur Station to Solo Balapan Station on Sunday. The Vice President emphasized that public transportation facilities should follow priority needs, including strict rules on the smoke-free zone.
Dan sudah ada SE, sudah ada undang-undang.
There are already circular letter regulations and laws that clearly state public transportation is a smoke-free area.
Itu adalah kawasan bebas rokok.
Moreover, the Vice President further underlined that transportation policies must align with President Prabowo Subianto's vision in the health sector. He highlighted that priority programs such as free health checkups, stunting preventions, and hospital development should remain the main focus, including in the revitalizations of railway facilities. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Our next info is about Indonesia aims to complete electrification in thousands of villages and hamlets that currently lack electricity by 2030. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Bahlil Lahadalia stated that this program is a national priority with full support from the state budget and will be accompanied by energy subsidy reform that will begin in 2026. Rizka Fadila has the details.
Indonesia Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Bahlil Lahadalia stated that the government is preparing to complete the economic programs delayed in 2025, while also designing the 2026 outlook to boost national growth. It also aims to complete the electrification program for villages that currently lack electricity by 2029 to 2030. He revealed this after reporting the economic program to President Prabowo Subianto in Jakarta.
From the energy perspective, we will try to build 5,700 villages and 4,400 hamlets that haven't got electricity. And we will finish by 2029 and 2030. The target is that everything must be finished.
Minister Bahlil affirmed that the program funding will come from the state budget, starting with the 2025 budget revision and continuing into 2026. According to him, the president ordered the state to be directly present to serve the needs of the common people because the provision of electricity cannot be calculated solely from economic profit perspective.
Starting 2025, in the budget revisions and included in the 2026 state budget, because that's for public service, right? Because of what? Earlier, we reported to the president, Mr. President, this is about the common people. We can't calculate this economically, so the presence of the state is needed, and the president directly ordered the allocations of funds.
Besides electrification, Bahlil also explained the energy subsidy reform that will be implemented starting in 2026. Subsidies are still commodity-based, particularly for diesel fuel, with a quota control mechanism using single data from the Central Bureau of Statistics, or BPS. Rizka Fadila, Voice of Indonesia.
Coming up next, information about Indonesia is stepping up efforts to achieve food self-sufficiency by expanding farmland and launching market operation to stabilize prices. Indonesia's Minister of Agriculture stated in a press statement after a meeting at the Presidential Palace Complex, Jakarta, on Monday. Raditya has the report.
On Monday, August 25, 2025, Indonesia's Ministry of Agriculture, Amran Sulaiman, revealed that Indonesia is accelerating its land optimization program through the expansion of new rice fields. It will strengthen national rice production and ensure food self-sufficiency.
If the rice field expansion is completed gradually over three consecutive years, this will ensure future self-sufficiency is sustainable.
At the same time, large market operation is underway to control prices.
We have prepared 1.3 million tons of rice for stabilization of food supply and prices. By December, we are targeting a steady decline in rice prices. Today's distribution is at 6,000 tons per day, and soon we aim for 7,000, eventually reaching 10,000 tons daily in the future.
According to Minister Amran, Indonesia's rice reserve now stand at 3.9 million tons, enough to keep stock safe even after the market operation. With year-end level expected between 2.5 to 2.7 million tons. Raditya Arif Putra Setiawan, Voice of Indonesia.
Last info is about the Indonesian Parliament has given the green light for the naturalization process of 9 athletes. This strategic move aims to boost the competitiveness of the Indonesian national team on the international sports stage, particularly in football and ice hockey. Isan Saputra has the details.
The Indonesian House of Representatives has accepted the government's request for the naturalizations of 9 soccer and ice hockey athletes. The Indonesian government is considering granting Indonesian citizenship to 9 athletes who will strengthen the national team in various sports. They consist of 2 male footballers, 3 female footballers, and 4 ice hockey athletes. Chairman of House Commission 13, Willy Aditya, on Wednesday in Jakarta expressed his appreciation for the cross-institutional efforts in the investigation and research to meet the naturalization requirements for these athletes.
Commission
13 of the Indonesian House Representatives appreciates the government, the Minister of Law, the Ministry of Youth and Sports, the Indonesian Football Association, and the Indonesian Ice Hockey Federation for their efforts related to investigations and research to fulfill the requirements for naturalizations of football and ice hockey players.
Meanwhile, the chairperson of Commission 10 of the House of Representatives, Hetifah Syafuddin, hopes that naturalization athletes can quickly adapt and bring success to Indonesia.
Because you have already, almost become part of the national team in your respective sports. I hope you will quickly adapt, adjust to your new environment, and carry out this important responsibility to the best of your ability in order to bring pride to our nation. Congratulations.
Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports Taufik Hidayat stated that the naturalization applications was made not only to strengthen the national team in related sports, but also to transfer knowledge to local athletes. Isan Syaputra, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that was some information that happens in Indonesia this week on Highlight of the Week.
Sampai jumpa.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Hati berdebar melihat dia selangkah di depanmu. Jangan terdiam, jangan membisu, ungkapkan isi hatimu.
Tatapan mata jelaskan ada getar hatinya. Takkan lama menunggu semesta cinta. Senyuman isyaratkan tak perlu ragu. Coba katakan, katakan, katakan dengan cinta. Oh yeah. Oh, 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 oh.
Jantung berdebar melihat dia hangatnya menyapamu.
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kecewa.
kritik sini, kritik sana. Semua orang gak suka, kasih makan juga gak. Tapi lo yang marah-marah, gue sih gak masalah. Tapi lo naik darah, selalu aja salah. Mending kita party aja. Gue benci, tapi ku jadi termotivasi. Buat ku lebih baik, kau malah makin keki. Sudah berhenti kawan, kita kan bukan lawan. Bagitkanlah hidupku, jangan kau sia-sia.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener, and thank you for staying tuned in Indonesia today. Listener, now let's listen to VOI Talk on Clean Water, Clean Future with Arviana Maulina, a founder of Water Nation Foundation, hosted by Ray.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Right now, I am with Arviana Maulina, the founder of Water Nation Foundation. And without any further ado, let us greet Arviana. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good.
Yes, you seem very energetic, especially this morning. Do you have any like plans that you do, especially to get super hyped up in this morning, Arviana?
All right. So it's a very fantastic morning for me, as today I can share about what I did since the age of 16. So I'm really happy to talk about how do I can craft my journey and start from the zero. And yeah, that's how is it. That's why I'm very excited.
Okay, Arviana. So, without any further ado, I would like to ask you, the first one is clean water and water sustainability. It's basically your core values, especially since 16. That's very young. And it is remain a critical global role in global challenges from your perspectives. What are the most urgent issues that we must discuss today?
Yeah, I must say that the most urgent issues is when we are talking about the water, means that the human rights, means that the water rights, the access, the equal access for everyone together. So I can say that specifically in Indonesia, we can see there's a lot of water issues. For example, like water access, water pollution, and there's a lot of more. And globally, over 2 billion people lack of safe drinking water. And in Indonesia specifically, only about 30% of the population has access to safely managed drinking water service. Means that 70% more still got no access to the clean water.
Okay, so many people doesn't seem to have access to clean water. And how does the foundation, the Water Nation Foundation, position itself in addressing these challenges? Anything that you do?
I can say that it starts from the awareness stage. where we can get a lot of young people, because we believe that Indonesia is passing the demographic bonus to 2045 or something. So we can see that this is our opportunity to create awareness, create a buzz for the people, for the young people, to start talking about clean water issues and start getting aware of it. And after they get some awareness about the water issues, the problem, and how we can solve the issues, they can start to solve it individually and together with their own community or local community. So I must say that Water Nation played the biggest role and aspect in here when we are starting to craft the digital campaign to ask them to join force together to have action in some areas. For example, we plan the Lora or Sopnat in Cepu, Central Java, and we do some workshop with the mothers in Banten, Tangerang, and then we also crafting some bush awareness through the Car Free Day in Bandung and Jakarta, and lot of the people pay attention to our initiative. So they bring our initiatives to Bangka Belitung or Cirebon, or even one of our friends bring our innovation to China before. So we are really happy about that.
Okay, that is really interesting for a listener, because it is an organization that do a lot and even spreads a lot, especially to the China. And for a listener, I would like to ask Karfiana, maybe can you tell us a bit about how does the foundation started and what sparked yourself to start this establishment, and what keeps the foundation motivated to do what you do, especially since the age of 16? That's like five, 7 years.
Yeah, it's quite a crazy idea. Where I really interested about these issues since I was around like 16, or even way younger before, because when I was a little child, I just kept telling them, my mothers, my parents, and the people, hey, please don't litter. Please just, if you have some waste, please just take it by yourself and find a proper trash bin to drop in. As simple as that. I think that is my core values, to live in the sustainable way since I was a pretty young age. And after that, when I was 16, I'm in the middle of the finding myself, my journey about what kind of major that I want to take when I was when I was going to the university. And I found out, oh, okay, I'm very interested in this kind of majors. Maybe I can spell that international relations, but I turned up and end up in American communications. But by then, I got a lot of exposure to the global issues like SDGs, or maybe I get connected with the communities, local communities, and the global communities. And that's what kind of inspires me. Oh, with this kind of exposure, there's a lot of issues that happens all around us. For example, and one of it that maybe a lot of young people didn't aware about it is about the water issues. I know when I was 16, back in 2020, a lot of people talking about waste, talking about or maybe a lot of environmental issues around there, but perhaps they forgot about there's issues in water too. And after that, I think I need to voice it out. I need to bring it out to the world. And if I'm not wrong, back in 2020, there's only like 2 or less than 5 water organizations in Indonesia, and we are the youth-led organization in the water issues in 2020. So that's very interesting for us. And since I voiced it out by myself, I'm the founder in the pandemic era, and a lot of people start to pay attention to these issues. And it keeps the domino effects to everyone, from me, myself, who do this alone and building this start from the scratch since I was just 16. And then a lot of people around like 1,000 of people start to collaborate with us, joining forces as the volunteers. And now we are starting and going bigger from the youth-led action, just an informal community. So we are turning into a foundation in 2024. So it has a long journey for me, a long journey, quite serious and fun. And we got a lot of support from not only from the people, but also we are joining many incubation as well. And our recent achievements is we pitch in the SDGs Innovation Market in Asia Pacific Forum on Sustainable Development in Bangkok back in February 2025. Not only pitch, we also exhibit our ideas in their SDGs Innovation Market. So we are really happy, proud in our journey, and we are really happy that many people start to taking action with us, and a lot of people keep getting back to this community, even though they are just meeting us through online platform in 2020, but in 2024-2025, when we are starting to create on-site or offline activities, they are reaching out to us. So we are really happy to it.
Okay, that is such an interesting and also really admirable, as we can say. So since starting very young, Karviana is really, really want to tell everyone about the current issues, especially the water issues, and pitching the ideas so that everyone, especially the whole world, to hear. And it is really admirable. I really like that story myself. And okay, so for the final question, I would like to ask you, looking ahead in your future, do you plan to keep your priorities the same for the next few years, or are you going maybe expand to something more global or more like more challenging for yourself, especially like gathering other communities and organizations to work together with you?
All right, this is a very interesting question, since I have seen a lot of the young generation, especially in my age, who is creating a lot of initiatives back in the pandemic era, because we know that the internet buzz is really high back then, and a lot of people just starting out their our community because maybe they find a support system, or maybe they just okay, voice it out and they start buzz out because the internet quite high back then. And then when the pandemic starts to end, they are going to the university, they are going to the world, and okay, I don't have any energy to handle this anymore. But for my cast, fortunately, since I think it's my core values in my life, so apart from this community that already running with their own people, because currently I'm their advisors. Before that, yes, I'm the founder, I'm also the program manager, some of it, but now I'm their advisors. I'm stepping up as an advisor, as part of, I'm still young and I have a lot of things to do in the future. So I need to manage the time. The water conditions needs to run, to running well within each people, but myself also need to get more knowledge as I grow up. So so that's kind of win-win solutions. But eventually, we aim to grow bigger, grow stronger, grow globally, voice out. Especially, I'm really happy that we can get a grassroots voice, young people. Even we are like bridging their voice to the higher up, higher stakeholders. So, I believe that if we are more, if there's a lot of people who is more aware about these issues, especially in the local, regional, or global area, we can solve the challenge together.
Okay, thank you so much, Arfiana, for your time and your really admirable stories, and maybe can motivate other young people to do the same on what you do. And for listeners, thank you so much for your time and accompanying me and Ka Arfiana for this special interview in VRI Talk. And don't go anywhere, because after this, Voice of Indonesia will continue bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia and also amazing interviews like this. So stay tuned with us only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Saat kau jatuh, lukai hati, dimanapun itu, I'll find you. Saat kau lemah dan tak berdaya, lihat diriku untukmu. Kapanpun mimpi terasa jauh, oh ingatlah sesuatu, ku akan selalu jadi sayap pelindungmu. Saat duniamu mulai pudar dan kau merasa hilang, ku akan selalu jadi sayap pelindungmu. Saat kau takut, oh dan tersesat, dimanapun itu, I'll find you. Air matamu takkan terjatuh, lihat diriku untukmu. Kapanpun mimpi terasa jauh, oh ingatlah sesuatu, ku akan selalu jadi sayap pelindungmu. Saat duniamu mulai pudar dan kau merasa hilang, ku akan selalu jadi sayap pelindungmu. Takkan menyerah, ku ada untukmu. Kapanpun mimpi terasa jauh, oh ingatlah sesuatu, ku akan selalu jadi sayap pelindungmu. Saat duniamu mulai pudar dan kau merasa hilang, ku akan selalu jadi sayap pelindungmu. Ku akan selalu jadi sayap pelindungmu.
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Ethnic and cultural diversity will never be separated from Kalimantan. The island is known for its indigenous Dayak tribes, spread out in four provinces and part of Sarawak, Malaysia. The Ibans are among the 162 Dayak sub-ethnics who live in province of West Kalimantan and Sarawak in Malaysia. The largest community of the Ibans have settled in the border region between Sintang and Kapuas Hulu districts, while the rest, about 40%, are in the region of Sarawak, Malaysia. As the second oldest tribe, after the Kayans in West Kalimantan, the Ibans keep their ancestors' traditions and culture, which are still strongly binding the people's lives. These have been handed down for generations and which until now are still maintained. Among others is berpantun, chanting poems in rhymes. For the Ibans, berpantun is a form of praise or satire chanted by a kind of storyteller or singer called pemantun, who depicts figures of the kayangan or heaven. The female pemantun is called kumang, whereas the male is called keling. A pemantun has special skills to string words and sing lyrics like a singer. The poems or lyrics usually use more figurative language like metaphors. Following is an Iban poem chanting called pantun rangsang, or stimulating or motivating poem, which is meant to encourage and motivate people to fight.
Bang kumada batang timyang alanzi kumae orang de tanam segadam de lubang hujan ujak segandi da pindu wari sari to bedao menyamasiah da digi kena ranungga tisi puang aka lunang langiat habe gitang kita ke banyak mayuah betalisi semua kita berindai dia de ruahe dua di tikai nyam diri uji kita boi muan kada kun munusuan ke kita ora laki siguan pantuan ripuan sino di hati namun bah gigi dah sangat adilah seri dah buang gigi kada menton gaya kanya di nyariah rarai munyi balikan raja kayan taman munti kena sanggup jari ayah si tunjua butang.
The chanting of Iban poems is used to send off those who are living to perform certain tasks. With duration of about 10 to 30 minutes, it aims to give spirit and motivation to a person or a group of people so that they will be brave and earnest in performing their duties. This Iban tradition of berpantun according to Gansa Anak Juntao, a cultural observer on the border of West Kalimantan, Indonesia and Sarawak, Malaysia, is only performed during specific events, like harvest festivals, celebrations, and special occasions such as the departure of somebody who is going to perform certain duties. The rhymes contain prayer besides having an element of entertainment. They are also considered sacred and serve as offerings to Betara or God.
Ya, pantun yang kita dengar tadi itu adalah pantun perangsang, di mana di situ mengandung syair yang dilantunkan.
Yes, the one we listened just now was a pantun perangsang, which words are sung in such a way that is nice to listen to. Well, it is called pantun perangsang, a stimulating or motivating poem, and it is meant to provide motivation and spirit to a group of people who will carry out their duties. Yes, she sent a poem, which means she was praying, and then she gave some advice what should and should not be done, so that people who carry out the task will do it carefully. Well, there is also an element of entertainment, usually during gawai or a celebration. It can be after the harvest, in a thanksgiving, before rice in planting, or in welcoming special guests. This can also be held specifically for sending off those who will depart to carry out certain tasks.
In general, the Iban's poems, both in the past as well as in its present implementation, have been widely used in various versions for different purposes. like pantun tujuan or poem with purpose, or sindiran or satires, which are meant for the guests or even the authorities or the government. In this case, the pemantun becomes a representative of the people in expressing their deep feeling. Though the lines or words used in the Iban's poems mostly are acronyms, they are able to arouse the listener and have a powerful meaning to those who hear and understand it. Most pemantun are women, but it does not mean men cannot sing or deliver the poems. Today, such poems are less in demand among the young generation of the Ibans. However, this cultural heritage of the second oldest Dayak tribe in Kalimantan Island should be preserved, because in addition to having a religious value, the poems are also part of national culture, which are useful and not easily eroded by time. That was Budaya Nusantara, Archipelagic Culture, presented by RRI Antikong. Until next time.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.